That is. Boy, aren't you glad that God says, I love you throughout the pages of the Word of God. What a blessing. Turn to that great faith chapter of the Bible, Hebrews chapter number 11, if you'll find your place there in the pages of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter number 11. God is teaching us the principle of living by faith. The Christian life is a life of faith. It commences in faith, begins in faith. The moment a person is saved, we're saved by faith. And then God has designed our lives, or designed the Christian life, to be lived by faith till we cross the finish line in glory. And if there's one truth that you need to get from the book of Hebrews, it's this: faith pleases God. God honors faith, and faith honors God. And when we believe Him and trust Him, God is pleased with us. And so we find that in the pages of the Word of God, He has listed here in the great hall of faith about 16, 17 people or groups of people that teach us this principle of living by faith. And tonight we're going to look at a man by the name of Abraham. Look, if you would, verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We've looked thus far at Abel, dead yet speaking. We saw Enoch, the grave robber. Then we looked last time at Noah, the ark builder. And tonight I want us to look at Abraham, the trailblazer. You see, I believe that Abraham blazed a trail of faith. Let's pray and ask God to help us tonight. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for the principle of faith, and to teach us and help us to learn to live our lives by faith in a God who cannot fail, a God who's always faithful, a God who forever keeps His Word, a God who can do anything but lie. Father, I pray You'll help us tonight to learn from the great men and women of the Bible who trusted You, who looked to You, leaned on You, walked with You, and watched You work mightily in their lives. And Lord, what You do in their lives, You can do in ours. It may be a different circumstance, different day, but we still live our lives by faith in You. And Lord, You respond to faith. And I pray that we'd trust You today and Lord, look to You, and You'd work mightily in our own lives. And we'll sure thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, a man by the name of Abraham. You know, other than the Lord Jesus, Abraham is probably the most significant person in the Bible. John Phillips said this about Abraham: he's the brightest star in the Hebrew sky. He said, boy, if you begin to look at all the great men and women of the Old Testament, boy, Abraham's going to shine the brightest of all of them. It's interesting that he's mentioned more often in the New Testament than any other Old Testament person. One-fourth of the book of Genesis is given over to the story of this one man's life. And really, half of the book of Genesis is written about him and his prodigy, his descendants, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and the 12 sons of Jacob. And we find who make up the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. Three times the Bible said that Abraham is the friend of God. Isn't that interesting? God said, Abraham is my friend. And time again throughout the Scriptures, God refers to Himself as the God of Abraham. You know, I wonder if God ever says that He's the God of Kevin, or He's the God of this individual, that individual. God, Abraham, so honored God. He said, I want you to know, I'm the God of Abraham. Abraham belongs to Me. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 11, you can jot it down. He's called the father of all them that believe. Do you know that Abraham's life is a model or a pattern of faith? Do you know that he blazes a trail of faith across the pages of the Word of God? And so much so that God has enshrined him in the hall of faith. And it's interesting that even when you come to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, that more is written about Abraham and his faith than any other person. Next to him is a man by the name of Moses, and so we find that God had much to say about this man. What do we learn from him? What can I learn from a man by the Abraham, by the name of Abraham, who's blazed a trail of faith? How can I walk in the steps of faith? And I'm going to give you a couple things tonight and then a couple things on next Sunday night, because we won't have time to deal with all of it in one message. Number one, I want you to get this. If I'm going to follow in the footsteps of Abraham, if I'm going to be a man or woman of faith, I must first of all answer the summons of faith. I must answer the summons of faith. Look, if you would, in verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called. Aren't you glad that God calls? God called Abraham. That word call means to issue a summons. It means to call aloud. Listen, Abraham didn't mistake God's call. God called and Abraham is going to answer. And that summons came to Abraham when he was living in a place called Ur of the Chaldees. Now that's interesting. The city of Ur was an ancient, bustling, metropolitan city located in Mesopotamia. The modern-day city of Ur, it still exists today, is in the southwest corner of Iraq. It's about 75 miles from the Kuwait border. And he didn't come from the modern-day Ur, but the ancient Ur. That ancient city has been unearthed, and they found great libraries, great modern civilization, so to speak, for that day. And Abraham was living in that city. And for the first 60 years of his life, Abraham was a pagan idolater. He worshipped the moon god, which was the primary deity in that area. Of course, there was a number of lesser gods, but he was a worshiper of the moon. And Stephen tells us in Acts chapter 7, verse 2, that the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. Aren't you glad that God is the God of glory? Hey, you can worship the sun and the moon and stars, and all of that pales in comparison to our great God, the creator of the universe. Hey, that is the created thing. Hey, I'm glad we know the one who created it all. Amen? And God, in His glory, appears to Abraham. And He's going to call Abraham. And that word appeared means to see or to gaze upon, with the idea of making something or someone known. And God, in some form or some fashion, made Himself known to Abraham. And in that moment, Abraham turned to God from idols. He put his faith in the living and true God. And Abraham entered into a relationship with God by faith. Listen, you know something? Hey, Abraham saved the same way everybody and anybody saved, and that's by grace through faith. Nobody saved any other way. That's the only way you can come to God, is by grace through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Abraham wasn't saved because he was a great man. He was saved because of the grace of God in his life. And men and ladies, tonight I'm thankful for grace, aren't you? And Abraham was a man, when God called, he answered. And you know what? Maybe there's somebody here tonight, you need to answer the call to salvation, that God's been dealing with your heart, and you know you need to be saved. And tonight, you need to respond to God's call in your own life and by faith, trust Him as your Savior. Now, Abraham answered the divine call of God, and when he did, he stepped out of the darkness into the light of a whole new way of living. And we find that he was saved by faith, and now he was to live by faith. You see, he was called to come. Alright? He came to the Lord, and now he's going to be called to go. Look at verse number 8 again. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go. Did you see those two words? Hey, to go. There was to be a leaving of the old life and a beginning of a new, whole new life of faith in Jehovah God. And men and ladies, can I tell you, when God calls us to come, with that is going to be a call to go. I'm to come to the Lord, and then after I'm saved, I'm to go for the Lord, and I'm to live my life for the Lord. And my life, my whole realm of my life is to be centered in the will of God and the desires of God for my life. I'm to answer the call of salvation by faith. And then guess what? We answer the call of surrender and living our lives for God by faith. And so God called and Abraham answered. Isn't that a blessing? And you know what? That new life is going to involve a new land. And when we look at these men and women of the Bible, we've number of times went all the way back to where their story's written. So go back with me, Genesis chapter 12, for just a moment. Would you do that? Look in Genesis chapter number 12. Find your place there in the pages of the Word of God, Genesis chapter number 12. And you'll find in verse number 1. Look there if you would, Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said. You say, preacher, why was that past tense and not present tense? Because by the time you get to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, 15 years have passed in Abraham's life. You're going to find that every man and woman of the Bible had some hiccups along the way. And you know what? We'll have some hiccups along the way. And Abraham, he left Ur and he wound up in a place called Haran, and he spent 15 years in Haran out of the will of God. So God calls him a second time, not to salvation, but to a deeper surrender, and he steps out a second time to the land of Canaan. Now, notice the Bible said, Genesis 12:1, and the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And so God called Abraham to a new life and to a new land. And folks, can I tell you, while Abraham's blessings was found in a land, guess what? Our blessings are found in a Lord. Amen. Did you know that? Abraham had material blessings. You and I have spiritual blessings. The Bible talks about the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, there are some things that we have in the Lord that you just can't put a price tag to. Amen? You just can't do it. So we find that Abraham was called there in Genesis 12. I want you to go to a city. I'm going to make you a blessing, Abraham. And them that bless you, I'm going to bless. And them that curse you, I'm going to curse. And I want you to go back now to Hebrews chapter 11. God called. And then I want you to notice what the Bible says, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, watch this next word, obeyed. Did you see that? Church, obedience is the litmus test of faith. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Now, this word obey is an interesting word. It means to hearken. It means to listen. And the idea of a word coming to an individual and they hear it and they obey it. Hebrews 10:17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Abraham heard from God and he believed and he obeyed. And friend, listen, one of the evidences of faith in our lives is obedience to the living God. God calls, God says, and we obey. And that's what's important in our lives. That's how we know that we're living the life of faith, is when we hear God speak to us from the pages of His Word, that we answer in faith through obedience to Him. There was a missionary translator that was having problems finding the right word for obedience in the native language that he was trying to put the Scriptures into. And obedience was a virtue that was seldom practiced there among that native people. And he was coming home one day, he was really stumped, trying to figure out some word because there was not really a word for obedience in their language. And so as he was making his way home, he whistled. And as he did, boy, his dog's ears perked up. And I mean, it came running. And there was an old native seeing this, said admiringly, he said, your dog is all ear. And immediately the missionary said, that's it. That's my word. Obedience is all ear. And Abraham was all ear to God. And men and ladies, Stone asked you a question, church. Are we all ear to God? Do we have an ear turned toward heaven? And when God speaks, we answer by faith in obedience to Him. Maybe, as we said earlier, the obedience of salvation, of coming to the Lord. Maybe a deeper area of surrender. You know, I hear this all the time. Well, God's just not calling people into service anymore. I don't believe that. I still believe God's calling men to preach.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. I believe God's still calling young people to surrender. I don't believe it's surrender is just for young people, by the way. Abraham was 60 when God called the first time, 75 when God called the second time. You're never too old to hear God's call in your life. And we're never too old to obey and answer God's call in our lives. Amen? Whatever that might be. Young man and young lady, adult Christian tonight, I just want to ask you, are you all ear to God? And if God calls, you'll answer. In whatever area that is, it may be the area of salvation, it may be the area of surrender, it might be the area of service. And God's saying, hey, I want you to get in the bus ministry, I want you to be involved in children's church, I want you to sing in the choir, I want you to be in jail ministry, or are you on Friday nights, or whatever. Are you all ear to God, that if God calls you to serve Him in whatever capacity, you're willing to do it, whatever it is that God calls you to do? Hey, are you all ear to God? Are you? Are we willing to take that step? You know, we get the idea that serving Jesus is optional. I don't believe God saved us just to sort of coast through our spiritual lives. I believe everybody ought to be doing something meaningful for Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you agree with that tonight? Let me ask you a question. What are you doing meaningful for Jesus Christ? So we find, first of all, that you answer the summons to faith. God calls and we answer in faith and obedience to Him. Number two, I want you to jot this down. If I'm going to follow the trail that Abraham's blazed by faith, not only do I need to answer the summons to faith, number two, I need to take the steps of faith. Look again, if you would please, in verse number 8. The Bible said, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. The Bible said he obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Do you know two times the Bible said he obeyed? The Bible says he obeyed, and two times the Bible said he went. He did what God said. It was an immediate step. You're going to find that even way back in the Ur of the Chaldees, that Abraham took an immediate step of faith. Now, he didn't make it the first step all the way into Canaan, but I tell you what he did do. He did start setting himself in that direction. Amen? And listen, when God calls, take that step of faith. Just go ahead and just plunge in. Don't stick your toe in the will of God. Just dive into it. Amen? Just dive into it. I tell you, just immerse yourself in what God has for you. And walking with Him and knowing Him and loving Him and serving Him with your life. And so when God called, He went. It spoke of a departure. He departed the area that God... And I want to tell you something, folks. This area thing of separation... Of separation. We hear a lot about it. Separating ourselves from the world. From the world. From the world. Let me tell you what separation. God didn't just separate us from something. He separated us to something. He separated us to Himself. We want to dwell on what we can't do. God said, I want you to dwell on what you can do. We get all bent out of shape about what we're to be separated from. We ought to get excited about what we're separated to, or better yet, who we're separated to. Yes. That we are the people of God. Amen. That I'm in the family of God. That I get to serve God. Serving God is not what I have to do. It's what I get to do. Amen. It's privilege. Teaching that Sunday school class is a privilege. Running that bus route is a privilege. Serving in that Christian school classroom is a privilege. Being able to bow our knees in prayer is a privilege. Being able to open the Word of God is a privilege. Being able to share to somebody else what God's done for you is a privilege. Being able to put my offering in the offering plate, I'm glad I've got something to give to God. See, we're all worried about what God wants. You ought to be glad that you get to give something to Him. Because if I am able to give something to God, that means He's given something to me and I ought to be thankful. Giving's not what I have to do, it's what I get to do. Coming to church is not, well, I got to go to church. I'd love to hang out with you guys, or I'd love to be, I got to go to church. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I got to go to church? No, I get to go to church. I could be in hell. My life could be destroyed by sin. I could be a drunkard, or I could be strung out on drugs, or my life ruined because of sin. But no, I'm a child of the King tonight. I get to serve the God of glory. I get to come to His house and worship. No, it's what we get to do. Let's by faith obey. Amen? Let's be God's people and what He wants us to be in this day, this hour. Hey, let me just tell you, everything's coming out of the closet with God's people. I'm amazed. They're running into the closet. God's looking for a generation of Christians in this day, this hour, that'll stand like Noah did and Abel did and Enoch did in his day and Abraham in his day. God's looking for some men and women that'll believe Him and stand up and be used by Him in our day. Amen? There was an immediate step. If God calls, just step out. Then notice, secondly, it was an immense step. You know, anytime somebody takes a step of faith, there's some immensity about it. You know what's interesting? God didn't pull out a map of the Fertile Crescent and spread it out before Abraham and trace out the journey and say, now Abraham, you're going to run into this, and when you get to that mountain right there, take a right and go down there through that desert, you know, 100 miles, and then take a left over there, cross that river. He didn't say that. Matter of fact, Abraham didn't have a clue where he was going. Look, if you would, verse 8. And he went out not knowing whither he went. He didn't have a clue. God just said, I want you to go to a land. And the Bible said he went. Can I tell you, and I'm going to come there in a minute. Look at that word knowing. I want you to jot this down if you don't get anything else. The word knowing there literally has the idea of not troubling the mind. He didn't worry about it. He didn't trouble his mind about it. He didn't lay in bed at night and say, oh God, I don't know where I'm going, but I know that I guess it'll be okay when I get there. And Lord, I don't really know the way, and I hope I don't get lost and all that. He didn't do that. He didn't trouble his mind about it. God called, he's following, and he knew God would show the way. You know, we want to know the end before we ever start the race, don't we? We want to know what's ahead. God doesn't work that way. God said, I just want you to take a step today and then take a step tomorrow and then take another step the next day. That's what He wants. God said, don't trouble your mind about where I'm leading. You just follow. Abraham just stepped out and trustfully put his hand in the hand of God, and he enjoyed the journey. You know, when was the last time your four-year-old sweated it out about where you know, we're going to go to the park. Well, how are we going to get there? Are we going to walk? Are we going to drive? Well, we run out of gas. What if the car gets flat tire? What if we get there and the swings are broke? They don't do that. They just happily go jump in the car and they're excited. And you got to fight the seatbelt on them. And I mean, you know, you're holding them down. And you know, you get here. Are we there yet? Are we there? You know, I always hated to go on vacation. Tell my kids we're actually going on vacation. Are we there yet? And I thought, you say, are we there yet? One time, more time, I'm going to tie you to the top of the car. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I remember we were going to go to Maine, and I was going to be preaching up in Maine, and that was really before. I don't even know how we thought about it. I can't even figure out how we thought about it. I don't know if maybe some of the cars had just come out with or vans with a. Now y'all know I lived before you carried a cell phone, right? Y'all know that I still had rotary phones and push button. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Y'all with me? Anybody over about what 30 or 40 knows what I'm talking about? You know, you still actually had to press some buttons on that thing, and it wasn't all digital. You know, you didn't speak into it. Could you imagine somebody walking up to one of those phones? Hey, call. It just didn't work that way. But matter of fact, you know, now, you know, we have remote control. I'm telling you, kids got it easy. You know, you got it easy, you don't even know it. You know, dad's sitting out with a remote control, hitting the button, it's automatically, I mean, boy, the picture perfect every time it comes up. I was my dad's remote control. Change that channel, son. Cut that up. Got it too loud. Cut that down. Turn the rotor. Oh, you went too far. Cut it back. You remember how you draw on that little rotor? West, south, southwest, channel 3, channel 8. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Somebody was sitting there. Y'all wouldn't have made it. We did better than a stick and a tire rim. We did better than that, but still. We didn't worry about it. But we were going to Maine. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. We was going to Maine. And believe it or not, we had a little tiny TV that you could actually put VCR tapes in. How many know what I'm talking about? Anybody still got those? All right. Had a little TV. We was trying to find a way to strap it between the two seats so the kids could watch it all the way to Maine. Because I knew that 2,000 miles, somebody's going to kill somebody before we got there. Finally, we figured it was a hazard. If I hit on the brakes, it's going to go flying through the car and kill somebody. So we threw it out. and we survived it. But anyway, you know, road trips. You know what? Abraham didn't know where he's going. He just went. And I'm just going to tell you, young man, young lady, when it comes to your future, why don't you just give it to God? Put your hand in His hand. Let Him lead the direction, and you just enjoy the journey. Amen. You know what our problem with as adults? We worry too much about the journey when we ought to be enjoying the journey. Amen. I jotted this down. You don't have to know the way if you know who's in charge of the journey. I don't have to know the way. I don't have to know what I'm going to do 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years. I know what God's called me to do right now. I'll worry about that down the road when I get there. Or be concerned about it. Somebody sent me this quote, and I appreciate it. Faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. It is a life of faith, not intellect and reason, but a life of knowing who makes us go. That's pretty good, isn't it? Can I encourage you not to overlook the faith of Sarah in all this? Her willingness to follow and trust her husband. You know, God didn't appear to her like He did Abraham. She's getting it all secondhand. Can you imagine Abraham coming home? I mean, he's excited. He starts telling Sarah to pack up the house, get everything ready. We're moving. We're going on a road trip, Sarah. We got a new place. We're going. It's exciting. And Sarah, you know, she's like, huh? What are you talking about? Where are we going? I don't know. How long is it going to take for us to get there, Abraham? I don't know that either. And what's it going to be like when we get there? I mean, are the people nice? And is there not, you know, what's it going to be like? Is it modern? And there are up-to-date things and all of this? And where are we going to park the camels and the chariot, Abraham? And all these things going through her mind. And he said, don't know. And then she asked the question, when are we coming back? And he said, we're not. She didn't know anything, but yet she followed. I believe that's why Peter said that Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. That doesn't mean that Sarah groveled and pandered at his feet, at the feet of her husband. Doesn't mean she worshipped him. That means she willingly trusted God by submitting to the leadership of her husband as he followed God's will for their lives. And listen, ladies, I believe it's a godly thing to follow the leadership of your husband. And fellas, I want to tell you what, let's lead in the right direction so that our wives can safely trust in the direction we're going because they know you're following God. So there was an immediate step. There was an immense step in their lives. They stepped out not knowing, but yet God said, go, and I'm going to take care of the rest. You know what? When it comes to this matter of serving God, you just got to step out by faith and let God take care of the rest. And as a church, there are times that God calls a church, a congregation, to step out by faith. We don't understand it all. We don't know how we're going to do it all. But God says, do it. And you know what? We need to follow Him. Amen? And watch Him work. And then lastly, it's an intentional step. I'm going to tell you, this matter of walking with God is an intentional matter. You have to determine that you're going to walk in step with the Lord. You just do. It's intentional. Abraham had to put one foot in front of the other and follow God. And that's what you and I have to do. Can I tell you, Abraham's journey of faith wasn't without its difficulties. I'm just going to hit the highlights and we'll be done tonight. There was difficulty of distance. Did you know it's 1,000 miles approximately from Ur to Canaan? He didn't know where he was going, but it's 1,000-mile journey. And he didn't know. You know, a lot can happen in a journey of 1,000 miles. Sure can. I mean, there's people can rob you. Camel break down. That'd be pretty rough, wouldn't it? No water. I mean, it wasn't like you just pulled over. Hey, there's a McDonald's up there. Let's stop and get something to eat. No, they had to pack everything. They had to make a journey. Distance. But he went out and obeyed God, and he didn't let the difficulties stop him. There was distractions. You know, I mentioned the fact that God called Abraham when he was 70, but he really didn't get where he was going until he was 75 years old. That's because when he went and told his family about his experience with God, it so impressed his father Terah, who was a pagan idolater, that he said, "Well, Abraham, let's go, and you go, and I'm going with you." And so evidently, Terah and other people in the family, they went with him. But Terah, he sort of got tired along the way, and he stopped in Haran. And guess what? Abraham stopped with him. And Abraham spent 15 years out of the will of God because of his daddy who was standing in the way as a roadblock in Abraham's life. You know what Terah means? His name means delay. Let me tell you what the devil wants to do. He wants to delay you. Well, God, you know, when we get a little better financially stable, we'll begin to tithe. You know, God, when I get old things, few things out of my life, I'll get involved more in church. I'll start serving more. You know, God, if I get some things taken care of in my life, and then I'll go to Bible college. You know, we can make all kinds of excuses, but I just want you to know, delayed obedience is disobedience. When God calls, we need to answer. You know, there's some things you don't have to pray about. I don't have to pray about, of course, you're here and I'm not fussing at you, but I never fuss at the folks who are here. I'm just glad you're here. I'm glad anybody comes and hears me preach, okay? My wife has to because she's married to me, okay? And it'd be awful if she didn't. But you know, I'm glad you're here. But, you know, I don't have to pray about whether or not I come to church on Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival time. I don't have to pray about giving. I don't have to pray about witnessing. I don't have to pray about reading my Bible. Well, you know, you really need to ratchet up your prayer life. Well, you know what? I'll pray about it. And that's the answer of every Christian. You know, God wants you to be a witness. How about grabbing some tracts and invite somebody to church? Well, you know what? I'll pray about that. You know, that's the Christian answer that is putting somebody off, not every time, but many times, and they never get around doing what God's called them to do. Now, listen, should we pray about things? Absolutely. But once you have the mind of God, shouldn't we obey? And there's some things God's just spelled it out, and we just need to do it. And I thought about not only was there a distraction of his father, but let me ask you, what's your terror? What's keeping you or me from being everything that we could be for God? And then there was opposition. You know, when he got to the land, there's somebody already there. The Bible said the Canaanite was then in the land. And you know what? They were opposed to everything that God wanted for Abraham. Did you know that? Matter of fact, the king of Sodom is going to try to corrupt him with riches. He's going to go down into Egypt and he's going to get some baggage there called Hagar and going to have problems with that the rest of his life. And by the way, we got problems tonight because of it. Let me just tell you, when you start out on a journey for God, there's going to be some opposition. The world, the flesh, and the devil will make sure of that. Just determine you're going to step out by faith and obey God and let nothing stop you. You know, I thought about this. What will it take to stop you? What will it take? I ask myself, what will it take to stop me? To keep me from being what God wants me to do, doing what God wants me to do. Hey, folks, we all get discouraged. We all go through hard times in our lives. We all go through the ups and downs of life and hardship and difficulty. Let's just not let those things stop us. Paul said, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, that I might finish my course with joy. Let's just every one of us seek to be everything God wants us to be till we get to heaven. Amen? And let nothing move us. Let's just finish the course. Whatever your course is, just finish it with joy. Amen. Abraham was a man who believed God, and you and I ought to be men and women of faith who believe God. Maybe tonight you need to answer the summons to faith. Maybe God's calling in your life and you need to answer. Maybe you need to answer. Maybe you need to take a step of, like Brother Harper spoke of it, and enroll in Bible college for a year. Take a year of Bible. Get that foundation in your life and see what God might want. What an opportunity. You know, you make yourself available, Christian, in this church for God to use. Say, God, whatever it is, if you make yourself. You know what? Here's the thing. I was talking to one of our members the other day, and I was talking about how God had worked in their life. And they said, you know, I don't know why God used me. And I told them this. I said, because you were available. God will use you if you'll just make yourself available. Just show up. There's so much to be done for God. Let's just determine to let God use us. Amen? Amen. Maybe you need to find your place tonight. And maybe as God's called, you need to obey. Maybe you need to surrender tonight. Maybe you need to just say, God, I've been discouraged and I've been about ready to quit. But God, because you're faithful, I want to be faithful to you. Whatever it is, God knows the need in your life tonight. Why don't you come? Father,